Hello and welcome to Season of the Witch with Rowan Oaken, the show where we spill the tea on the occult and read the leaves to filth. Happy Samhain, witches. It is another episode. What a treat. What a treat on Samhain, getting two episodes in one day. I'm actually recording this on Halloween, the 31st of October. How exciting, because as you may have seen over on Instagram, there is a Midnight Society special coming your way this episode, which is incredibly exciting. I've had lots of different ideas of things I would like to do for our next Midnight Society special, our first of this season as well, might I add, our first Midnight Society special. And this one you will have seen, if you have seen on Instagram or Facebook, is titled Straw Man. Now, for those of you who are new to the podcast, perhaps you are just tuning in on season three and you're thinking, what the dickens is a Midnight Society special? Now, you've heard in the episode that I've just posted up around fear, and the Midnight Society special comes from Are You Afraid of the Dark? So in there, they have this moment where they toss, I don't know what they toss in, like, is it sugar into the fire? And they submit a story for the approval of the Midnight Society, and it's a ghost story. It's a ghost story aimed at kids, so they're not normally that, do you know what? Some of them are actually really chilling. I'm like, they're not that scary. I remember being terrified by some of them. So that's kind of what we do here. We tell ghost stories. We've had a couple before. We've had our Crimson Clover, I Saw His Face, which was a Christmas ghost story. We've told some true ghost stories as well on the show. And this one today, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, is Straw Man. Now, this story is about Amir, who is looking to secure a really crucial grant for his ailing research. And he does so by venturing into the isolated town of Fairfield to unravel the mysteries that surround the unreported Strawman Festival. Now, as a closeted gay man, he wrestles with the town's dark legacy and his own hidden sexuality, finding both solace and aid in Ethan, the town's dedicated librarian, covertly distributing banned literature. And as their investigation begins to tug at the seams of the town's close-knit conservative community, Amir finds himself navigating the shadows of his identity amongst a town ensnared by fear and ancient secrets, all while balancing the thin line between the supernatural and a murderous reality. Now, we are going to be doing things a little bit differently in our Midnight Society special today, and that is because we will not be completing the story all in one go. So the Midnight Society special for Straw Man will be continuing over the next few potentially months as I unravel this story. So it's going to be a bit of a longer story. It gives you something a bit more episodic, which is quite exciting, actually. I'm quite excited about this new venture. So let's get underway with the story. The one-way dirt track road into Fairfield was kicked up with a whirl of dust as Amir's exhaust-spitting car shuddered over potholes and heavy rocks. Nothing but empty road for the past 4 hours. But finally, the town's soft, amber lights, now illuminating like fireflies, were coming into view in the distance. Taking the last cigarette from the carton, he lit it with the one still limp in his mouth, chucking the last chain of the cigarette out the window. His eyes wanted to look at the paper on the passenger seat, the one next to the shitty camcorder he bought that meant he'd been living out of his car for the past month. He'd been in his postdoctorate role for just 2 years, and here he was having his funding withdrawn. Funding that he had worked his ass off to secure, and within a week, it was being pulled by a new head of department. Paranormal investigations and the occult were always seen as the laughingstock of his department. He was used to it anyway, a doctorate in the occult. His family were proud to call him a doctor amongst the other family members, but as soon as they asked, what kind of doctor? Well, they all clammed up and moved the conversation on pretty quickly. Almost as quickly as they passed on the conversation about who Amir's wife was going to be. His mum's face would contort into the same expression of horror when Amir told her he was gay. "You're going to make me die of shame." She'd repeat that each time he mentioned his work, or every time she asked, for the 100th time, whether he was going to meet a nice girl. And the answer was the same. "Mum, I'm gay." Sun had begun to set on the dirt road, and a heavy magenta autumn sunset bled over the horizon, igniting cornfields in sanguine hues. The car jostled and shook as Amir drove with increasing speed, eager to get to the town of Fairfield. Faster, faster, and faster, not noticing the huge pothole to his left as his tire dipped, split, and exploded with a force that shot air into the cornfields as his car spun out of control, nose first, into the field. Foot still on the accelerator, the tires whirred as the bonnet of his car pressed up against a wooden spoke firmly planted in the ground, which now supported the semi-airborne vehicle. The body of a scarecrow draped over the car, blood spattered about the windscreen. Wiping his forehead, Amir let the moving blur of his vision swirl as pieces came back at him. Broken glass, broken camcorder, broken arm. A cigarette still in hand. A shadow about the windscreen. Straw, corn husks, and dirt strewn about. Opening the door, he fell to the floor and pulled himself through the dirt, finally dropping his cigarette and getting to his feet to see the crumpled wreckage before him. The scarecrow on his windshield, arms stretched, looking though as he was hugging the car. A protection. As he stepped closer, it became apparent that the blood on the windscreen hadn't come from inside the car. It was dripping down into the recesses where his windscreen wipers were. He felt his head, with his one good arm, nothing but a bruise. Making his way forward toward the scarecrow, he reached out, quivering, closer toward the musty, rotting flesh of the straw now tinged red. He dipped his finger in the viscous matter about the neck of the scarecrow and brought it up to his face, still struggling to focus. It was a deep, dark, congealed clump of blood. Grabbing the scarecrow with two hands, he tried to turn it over. It was no use. It instead caused him to gasp out in pain as the snapped bone in his arm buckled under the weight of the thing. Instead, he walked about his car, which was now clicking and steaming in the progressively darker twilight. As soon as he caught a glimpse of its face, he fell back with a thundering disgust rising from his stomach. Maggots wriggled about hunks of wet flesh, a rotting corpse mottled within straw, encased within the shell of a scarecrow. Amir heaved dry and hard, but nothing came out. Trying to move, he slipped on the gore around him, the dead eyes of the young teenager encased within the straw man corpse looking back at him. A warning. Go. Go. Leave this place. With around 200 miles between him and the next town over, Fairfield was the only direction to go. With his makeshift home of a car now out of action, his family so far away, he found himself finding a lot of truth in his mum's words. "You're such an idiot. Out here by yourself. No one even knows you're here. No research clearance. No one waiting on you." The backpack he'd managed to load included his broken camcorder, a carton of cigarettes, and a change of clothes, which all felt remarkably heavy for how little was in there. The strap had come off on one side, and with only one good arm, he found smoking near impossible, which made him all the more irate as he walked. The anger was a better distraction than the reality of the dirt road barely lit by a waxing moon. Stirring sounds of animals in cornfields made his heart shudder at each rustle, their leaves shaking as the scampering of small feet made their way through. It was hard not to think the worst, to think the thought of someone in there watching him as he made his way to the town. especially considering what he already knows about it. Every 300 yards or so was another scarecrow, elevated from the fields, sentinels of Fairfield. Stopping for a moment, he wondered whether they too may be filled with bodies. So he did it. He crept forward toward the fields. This is what he was here for. This could get him his grant back. It could get him his apartment back. He couldn't stop. He couldn't stop now, even if it felt like his heart was going to implode in his chest. As he stepped into the field, another rustle electrified his body, adrenaline bursting through his veins. You're fucking stupid. This is stupid. Stop it. Stop it. But he couldn't. He couldn't stop. Dropping his bag, he stepped into the cornfield and began making his way to the first scarecrow, stood proudly on his crucifix. He wore an old patchy hat on burlap face with straw sticking out, a cheerful smile. The straw through his eye holes protruded out in Amir's direction, almost looking as if it were looking straight at him. Each foot squelched in the sodden soil as he stepped closer and closer to the scarecrow. What do I even do when I get there? What happens if I find another body? Who am I going to call? And he laughed to himself and even had to say it out loud. Ghostbusters! As the words hit the cornfields, a cloud of crows fluttered up in the air around Amir. He let out a scream he wasn't proud of. Jesus fucking Christ on a cross, hell no. He made his way back out to the road and held his chest for a second before lighting a cigarette. Fuck it. No, fuck it. I can't. I'm not doing that tonight. And he heaved the backpack on and wrestled with the cigarette, continuing down the dirt path road, the sentinels watching him the whole way. After an hour's walk, Amir stepped foot into Fairfield, a town that time forgot, perhaps on purpose. Old buildings stood like revered guardians of a bygone era, time-worn facades bearing imprints of a history that reminded Amir of a reenactment village he visited as a kid. All the other kids in school had laughed at him for weeks as he was chosen for a demonstration where he had to milk a cow. "That's the last tit you'll ever touch," they said. They weren't wrong. He was always so confused by the way they would call his queerness out at school. They would shout "gay" at him down the halls as if it meant something. And as a kid, you learn about the world through naming things. Parents endlessly pointing at objects, naming them. And he wondered if perhaps that was what they were doing. Naming something. Something unknown. Labeling. Categorizing, so they knew exactly what they were dealing with. A gay, brown-skinned boy. Streets were lit with lamplight, a quaint and unnecessary nod to its traditional values. And as the night descended, the soft glow began to cast a halo around the old edifices, accentuating knotty textures of aged wood and weathered stone. With gabled roofs and latticed windows, the town was a quiet hum of tradition, their wooden frames gently creaking in rhythm with the scurrying of leaves. Fairfield was beautiful. It was undeniably beautiful. How strange for such a gorgeous place to be at the center of something so horrific. As if choreographed by unseen puppeteers, doors creaked open, unfolding faces of townsfolk, each white face curious about the newcomer. Stopping in his tracks, he looked out to the doors, all looking in his direction. The only person out their houses were two butchermen, aprons tinged pink as they carried wrapped meats. The stairs felt remarkably similar to the stairs of the scarecrows outside of the town, foreboding with a sinister curiosity. One of the faces stepped out of their doors, a statuesque man with perfectly set grey hair. Everything was perfectly in place. his press suit, his starched shirts, all perfect for the slippers he wore on his feet. As he got to Amir, he beamed a warm smile, one rehearsed for many years. He reached out his hand in a joyful greeting and grasped Amir's, who let out a splitting shriek as the pain shot through his broken arm. The plastered smile switched to anger suspiciously quickly as the man looked about at the people watching.
Oh, my arm. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I broke it.
Broke it? How? Replied the man with concern.
Oh, I crashed my car. Out on the road there.
Was anyone else with you?
Just me.
Oh. Are you lost, son?
No, I'd heard about Fairfield from an old journal article. It was published back in 64.
Mm-hmm. I'd come here to investigate. Both the tone of the man and his body weight shifted quickly.
We have a strict no reporter rule in this town. That has always been respected. All press is bad press.
No. I'm not a news reporter. I'm a researcher. I'm researching old settler practices in the US, particularly looking at the intersection of pagan ritual and agricultural practices. I want to investigate whether...
Please, come inside, the man interrupted.
But on the way in, when I crashed my car, I found a body outside the town.
You hit someone?
No. They were dead. I mean, I hit them. The body, they were already dead. I found them. They were stuffed. They were inside. They were stuffed inside a scarecrow. We need to call someone.
Please. Your name?
Amir. My name's Amir.
Amir, please, come inside my home. We'll call the police department. They will go and check it out immediately. We can recover your vehicle, get your arm seen to. My name's
Mr. Blackwater, Harvey Blackwater, Mayor of Fairfield.
And he held his hand out again, but quickly retracted it, remembering the broken arm. And with a father-like warmth, he took his arm around Amir and escorted him into his home, before looking back at the peering glances of the residents who promptly slunk back into their homes. As Amir stepped inside Mr. Blackwater's seemingly cozy home, he felt a sudden chill contrasting starkly with the warm embrace of Mr. Blackwater. The door closed behind them with a resounding thud, echoing through the eerie silence of the house. The glass lamplights flickered as they danced shadows upon the hallway, revealing pictures of past mayors of Fairfield, all bearing a stark resemblance to Harvey, a lineage of Blackwaters. They walked past a room where a desk sat in front of newspaper clippings, ceiling to floor, an empty nursery, a cot lit up by a sliver of moonlight creeping through dust particles. Reaching the living room, Mr. Blackwater offered Amir a seat, who was quick to take it.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Amir asked, taking the carton from his pocket.
We don't condone smoking in Fairfield.
Amir laughed at the hilarious idea, but quickly noticed that Mr. Blackwater was being deadly serious.
Oh, fuck, really? I better ration these out then.
And we don't condone foul language either.
Mr. Blackwater's warm demeanor had changed abruptly. His face hardened as he locked the door behind them.
You should never have come here, Amir. Fairfield has its secrets for a reason.
Just then, a sudden thud
resonated from the floor above, followed by muffled cries, leaving Amir in the chilling realization of the danger he had just stepped into. Tune in next time for our Midnight Society special to find out what happens to Amir. What is Mr. Blackwater hiding? What exactly is Amir investigating in Fairfield? And who was in the scarecrow that Amir hit in his car? Very exciting. I'm excited too. This is a really exciting moment to be coming back into storytelling. It's something that I said I really enjoy doing on the podcast. The episodes don't do as well as our other witchy episodes, because why would they? Why would they? This is a witchy podcast and here you are getting a spooky story. But I love doing them. And so many of you have reached out to say that you've really enjoyed them, which is all the validation needed. So join me next time, where we'll be hopefully answering some of those questions for you. And in the meantime, have a super spooky Samhain. I hope you go out dressed up as a slutty cat and get all the treats that you deserve. What the hell? I don't know what that was. Have a fabulous time. Let me know what you're all up to and take care. See you soon. Don't forget to stay witchy, bitchy, sassy and classy. You have been listening to Season the Witch. I've been your host, Rowan Oaken, feeling super spooky this Samhain season. Take care, everyone.